This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You've been living on the streets, going from shelter to shelter. The ties that bind you to society have been cut one by one. You don't have a driver's license. You haven't been working. You have no idea where your birth certificate is, and you don't have a social security number. You can't find the card. But you want to begin getting your life together again. And for that, you need legal ID. Without ID, you can't get a job. You certainly can't cash a check or apply for food stamps. You can't vote. You can't rent housing. Advocates for the homeless say getting a state ID card in Michigan is way too complicated. Elizabeth Kelly is with Hope Hospitality and Warming Center in Pontiac. Welcome to the program, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Cynthia. Nice to be here.
And we're joined by Greg Marcus, who's a founding organizer of the Detroit Action Commonwealth, as well as a brand newly retired professor with the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan. So good to have you with us, Greg.
Thank you.
Give us a sense, Elizabeth, how big a problem is this legal ID issue when you see homeless people come in to the Hope Hospitality and Warming Center?
Well, it actually is a huge issue. Most people do not have ID. They can become separated from all of their important documents. So they don't have a birth certificate, they don't have a social security card, and they don't have ID. And in order to get a social security card, you need an ID. And in order to get an ID, you need a social security card. And so there's a conundrum right there.
Hello, Catch 22. Gregor, give me an idea as you work with homeless people in Detroit. Go take us deeper into the kind of obstacles they face when they try to get off this Catch 22 treadmill.
My students and I went to soup kitchens in Detroit starting about 7 years ago. We met around the tables at mealtime with folks who come to the soup kitchen to explore whether it might be possible to form an organization of low-income, no-income homeless people. Mm-hmm. And so we simply sat around and talked with them and asked them what are some of the challenges they face and how might we go about solving these problems together. And the ID problem was clearly at the top of the list, the very first thing that many of the folks at the soup kitchens told us about. And I had no idea about this. There are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of native-born Detroiters mm-hmm. who have no ID and have had no practical means of getting ID.
Elizabeth, give us an idea then. What doors are closed as someone tries to get through this and crack through whatever hurdles are there to get the ID? What do they encounter?
There's a lot of documentation that you have to bring. So you would expect a social security card and a birth certificate to be core identity documents that you would need to bring. Mm-hmm. But then they will ask for random things like a high school transcript. You have to bring, if you don't have your name on a lease or you don't have utility bills because you're homeless, you have to bring mail that has the address. But then what's in the mail is equally important. And then things you think might count towards it, like a bridge card, which would show you were homeless, or an identity card from the Homeless Management Information System, which is a HUD database, and it's a photo ID, doesn't count at all. So they have this paper chase that's absolutely incredible. And without an ID, you can't open a bank account. You can't get medical help. You can't do pretty much anything. You can't qualify for housing through housing agencies. You have to have that to be able to move forward. You can't get a job. All of these things are contingent on having a valid ID.
Now, we do need to talk some about why we all have to jump through hoops to get a state ID card. We know that lax standards and sloppiness let the 9/11 hijackers get visas into this country, and some of those hijackers were able to fraudulently obtain state IDs. So across the country, state and federal governments have tightened the rule for security. So how do we strike that balance between homeland security and helping someone who's homeless get state ID? I guess who wants to try that one?
I would say that really is also another conundrum that we have to be able to manage. It's very difficult, though, if you don't have transportation and you're asked to go back to the Secretary of State multiple times. We had a man in the shelter who actually had his original birth certificate from 1956 and his social security card probably from when he was a small child, because he was well educated, but he had cancer which he lost his job, lost his home, and became homeless. He was pretty high functioning. He went back three times in order to be able to get an ID because they didn't accept correspondence at the time from the Department of Human Services. They had to send everything that we brought with us to help prove who he was, mm-hmm. in addition to a special exceptions unit. And I've heard from people, there was a friend of mine who moved here from Missouri, and he said he brought a passport, his Missouri driver's license, his Social Security card, his birth certificate, and his mortgage papers, and they asked him why he wasn't on the utility bills, which his wife had opened the utilities up, and they were leaning towards denying him a driver's license. So sometimes the pendulum swings too far. Some of the things that they require as documentation, like a high school transcript, in the case of one of our shelter guests, I emailed the contact us section of the district website, and they faxed it over to me within about 15 minutes with no other communication other than me saying I'm the representative for this particular mm-hmm. individual. Other districts will charge money for this, which then becomes another barrier if you have no money.
Now, Greg, the Michigan Secretary of State's office was quoted as saying that they'll accept a verifying letter from a shelter in lieu of two pieces of ID. Are we seeing that work? Is that happening across the board? And is that – oh, you're shaking your head, Elizabeth. Nah, that's not true?
We've given them shelter – it depends on who they get. And they're more apt to have to still send it to the special exceptions unit, which can delay it up to 2 weeks, and then you have to come back again.
And we understand, too, that some of these tightened restrictions are to help fight identity fraud. Social Security numbers are very, very important. So, again, there's that balance because we understand why we need to be very demanding as a government as far as who's getting cards and what's done with those numbers. Again, where does that balance happen?
Look, I'm a political scientist. I understand mm-hmm. and I fully understand the rationale behind the tightened up requirements. Mm-hmm. The problem is there's a need for a little more sensitivity and empathy towards the kinds of problems that that homeless people, no-income folks face. You mentioned about this, well, we'll accept a letter from a homeless shelter. We had a fight for that. That was not anything automatic. That was a political battle to grudgingly, I'm sorry to say, get that kind of agreement. The Michigan state law explicitly provides for the Secretary of State to waive the fee for an ID if the applicant, and this is the language, can show good cause. We met with representatives of the Secretary of State at the soup kitchen, our organization did, and explained to them that, well, one good cause for waiving the fee is if a person is indigent and has no money and can't get any money mm-hmm. until they get an ID card and then can get a job and get on their feet.
Sure.
We asked them, do they ever waive the fee for indigent folks? And the answer we got was no. I asked, have they ever waived the fee for any other reason? And I was at this meeting. This is not hearsay. Mm-hmm. The regional representatives of the Secretary of State's office told us, well, yes, we have waived the fee for university students when they come in and they need to get their ID prior to traveling abroad. And, you know, university students don't carry cash with them. They just have debit cards and we don't accept debit cards. So we have waived fees for university students, but no, we won't waive fees for an indigent person who's applying for an ID so that they can get a job.
Door slammed.
Yes. And so we tried to negotiate this. We finally had to file suit against the Secretary of State. Then they sat down and talked with us, and then they established a new policy that for certain cases, if you're receiving cash benefits, so if you're getting cash welfare, mm-hmm. SSI, cash support, disability income, if you're low income but receiving cash and you present those documents, they will waive the fee. This still leaves out the large majority of folks who are indigent and get no cash benefits, but at least it's a beginning. There are ways around some of these problems, and it depends on who you happen to,
when you turn up in line.
And again, I'm speaking from experience at the offices. Mm-hmm. My students and I have personally accompanied more than 1,000 individuals to the counters at Secretary of State offices, Social Security offices, and school transcript offices and such to collect these documents. In some cases, one woman I worked with, it was a two-year process to finally draw together all of the things. She was born in rural South Carolina back in the early 1950s. She was born at home. There was no birth certificate. She had no other documents and so forth. So in the Social Security office, and if you call the Social Security Administration, they would say, oh, yeah, we have a way around this. You can provide these other many documents and such. They do have a way around it. It's a very difficult way around it, number one. Uh-huh. Number two, many of the clerks at the offices are not aware of these alternative policies. And that's the same at the Secretary of State office. They don't know.
Yeah.
So when I took a gentleman to the Social Security office a few weeks ago, knowing what the rules were and such, and that he needed a printout or a replacement card, the clerk said, show us your Michigan ID, show us your state ID. Mm-hmm. We said, we don't have one. That's why we're here. She said, there's nothing more we can do for you. Sorry. Goodbye.
Elizabeth, what's the price we pay as a state and a society if we don't fix this?
Well, it's very high. I mean, you keep people permanently homeless. They're drifting in and out of shelters. Many of them will panhandle at the least and maybe do other things in order to be able to try to make ends meet. And it's not fair. when it comes to society, you know, as Greg said, how we handle and take care of those that have the greatest need defines us. As a society, this is something that should not be tolerated.
Elizabeth Kelly is the executive director of the Hope Hospitality and Warming Center in Pontiac. Greg Marcus is the founding organizer of the Detroit Action Commonwealth and a newly retired professor of political science who's been with the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much to both of you for talking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.